Thank you, Brother Tim. Before I begin this morning, I would like to have just about three volunteers to come forward and to pray for the brethren this morning. The Lord has laid on my heart that we have entered into a time of great temptation, in not only in our nation, but the whole world. Would three volunteers come forward and pray at this time?
Gracious Father in heaven, we rejoice at your invitation to come to you in our times of need. Come to you this morning from this place as we have gathered to hear the preaching of your word. We are conscious of the great battle that goes on around the world between the forces of God and the forces of the devil. We ask that the Holy Spirit would have the freedom to work in all the people of God throughout the world, to witness a good confession today, that the truth of God in Jesus Christ might be made clear, not only by the people of God, but also as people read the word, believers and unbelievers, as events unfold in this world which you have created, that the precious saving gospel of Christ might shine brightly, and that many who are on the road to hell may get off that road and come to personal faith, trust, surrender to Jesus, repentance for sin, and begin living for the glory of your holy name. We rejoice that you call people like Saul of Tarsus and save him and put him on the road to life and begin proclaiming the life that is in Jesus. We ask that you would do that again in our day.
Amen.
Not only with one, but with many.
Amen.
We lift up to you, Muslim and other people who take it upon themselves to persecute the name of Christ. And we pray that in your great mercy, you would be drawing them to yourself and to know that in Jesus there is hope and forgiveness and life and salvation and help in every time of need. We offer these prayers in the name of Christ our Savior, who invited us so to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, help us to see those things that Brother Larry talked about, and we pray for more laborers. We pray, Heavenly Father, for boldness, as in the scriptures we read that they prayed for more boldness. Help us, Heavenly Father, to trust in you more.
Amen.
To lean on you more. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the pastor who runs this church, that he's doing a revival this weekend. Help him in reaching out. Help there to be a revival in this country, Heavenly Father. Help eyes that are blind to see. And help us, Heavenly Father, to be your ambassadors, to open our mouths. So please, Heavenly Father, give us boldness to speak and give us opportunities to speak, open those doors. Thank you for each heart here that is seeking you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as things are opened up to us at this weekend, that we would be more effective for you. I also pray for those who are being persecuted. We all pray for their safety and their holding fast to the word. Strengthen them and protect them.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father in heaven,
the times that we're living in, Lord, have drawn our hearts and minds towards your word, speaking of the earth reeling to and fro, that the earth will fall as a cottage and not rise again. Lord, we believe that we are seeing your judgments in the earth. Of there's earthquakes, like the Lord said there would be. There's famines. There are storms. There are things that are causing men to fear, just as Jesus said would happen. Lord, we're praying that you would give grace to your people, that their hearts would not fail them for fear.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that by your grace we would be, all of your people would be bold as a lion.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that you would give us discernment by your Spirit to know the times. Amen. We do not want to be, Lord, of those who can tell the face of the sky but do not know the signs of the times.
Amen.
And Lord, there are signs in the heavens, there are signs in the earth, that there are birth pains of the coming of Christ and of the passing of the world.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith to discern the signs of the times. And may, Lord, we be alert. May we be perceptive. May we be effective in this good fight of faith. And may we be constant in encouraging one another and provoking one another. And so much the more as we see this day coming, the day of the Lord. So we pray, Lord, that the hope of your people would be strong. And that as these things happen all around us, that we would not be moved by them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Tim, for reading the scriptures for me. I am so encouraged with the young people and their willingness to help serve. To be called by God and saved by Jesus Christ and be born again as a Christian is a great and mighty privilege. It is the greatest privileges of all privileges a person could know. The saved person is the most blessed of all creatures because he is an heir of heaven. He is a child of God. He is always rejoicing because he will never be condemned by his sins. He will never be in hell. God's wrath will never be visited upon him. That is a wonderful thing, to be born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and to be made ready for eternity. And while it is one thing to be saved, it's another thing to rejoice in the knowledge of it. It is one thing to believe, and it's another thing that you have believed. It's one thing to believe that you are going to heaven. It's another thing to be assured absolutely that you are going to heaven. I know and I have experienced that many of God's children suffer from the lack of assurance. There are some who have problems with this all the time. There are some who have intermittent problems with it. There are days when we feel saved, and there are other days when we don't quite feel like we are saved. There are many who suffer from the lack of assurance because of false and unscriptural teaching. Think about this. If you are saved, your salvation is not affected by lack of assurance, nor by your frequent doubting, but your joy will be greatly affected by your lack of assurance. We brethren believe in the Word of God from cover to cover, but if we don't read it from cover to cover, it will cause doubt to creep in. But by reading the Scriptures, the Spirit can help us with confidence and assurance. But there is no question that you can be saved and be a doubter from time to time, but it will greatly affect your joy. Think about it. A babe still in diapers could very well be an heir. He can have great wealth. He can be an heir to a vast kingdom, and yet he doesn't know it. He doesn't get the enjoyment of it. And this is like many Christians who are lacking assurance. They do not enjoy their salvation. But brethren, what a joy it is to be saved. What a joy to be rejoicing in the sure knowledge of it. The Apostle Peter exhorts us to add to our faith diligence, virtue, knowledge, and temperance. Patience, goodness, brotherly kindness, and love, which will make you fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who lack these things are blind and can't see afar off, and have forgotten they were purged from their old sins. It is much better to make our election and calling sure. Amen. The Apostle John wrote to believers. He didn't write to unbelievers. He said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe or continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. These things are written that they might be assured of their salvation, that you may know, not think that you know or hope you know, but that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue believing on the Son of God." Our text deals with the subject of the full assurance of saving faith. There is a possibility of the blessed full assurance of faith. The text is very clear that you may know that you have eternal life. There is a lot in 1 John. The epistle is about knowing. That phrase, "we know," is found 52 times in the letter of 1 John. We do know that we know him. We know that we are in him. We know that it is the last time. We know we are the sons of God. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We know we shall see him as he is. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we are of the truth. We know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. We know we are of God. We know that God heareth us. We know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. We know that he hears us. We know that we have petitions that we desire of him. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We know he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and we know that the wicked one touches him not. We know that we are of God. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we know him that is true, and we know we are in him that is true. We know his Son, Jesus Christ. We know this is the true God and eternal life. The point is, we can have a taste of heaven on our way to heaven. As a believer, you already have heaven in your soul. And you and I have been born from above And it's possible for you and I to enjoy that small taste of heaven on our way to glory. There is no comfort and there is no joy without the security of full assurance of the knowledge of God's salvation. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman brethren in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wanted the God of hope in the Roman brethren to fill them with all joy and peace in believing and abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we think about being filled with all joy and peace in believing, we are reminded what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You and I have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with our physical eye. And the people of our day who say they have seen the Lord are lying, or they have been deceived. You and I haven't seen the Lord with the physical eye. In fact, Paul in another scripture said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We don't know the Lord after the flesh, but we do know him by faith. Peter says, in whom having not seen, ye love, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then in verse 9 it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The word joy is connected with Abraham. In John 5:56, Jesus said to the Jews, your father rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Amen. That word rejoice means to jump up and down with joy. Abraham wasn't a charismatic, but he could spiritually rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, in the knowledge of Christ, in what he was going to do for him at the cross. He rejoiced. He jumped for joy to see my day. This is what Peter is speaking about here. You can believe on Christ. You can rejoice with joy unspeakable. You feel like jumping for joy in him. There are some who teach that assurance is something not ever to be sought after, or that it is even sinful, or it is sinful any person to say, I know that I am saved. The Apostle Paul wrote, Jesus, who gave himself for him, for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. He redeemed us from all iniquity. He took all sin away. Let us read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Rome in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 8, verse 30, he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so you have people who profess to be the Lord's or who hope they are the Lord's, who for years and years have nothing to say about the Lord, and who have not taken the Lord's Supper. I came out of a church that most of the old people sat in pews, and they never talked about who they were in Christ. There are people who do not know for sure they are in Christ, and they walk around in fear, not knowing if they are saved today or not. Let's look at the Bible. I'm interested in what the Scriptures say. I'm interested in what God says, and what God says through His servants. John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." That ye may know. Those who are addressed are believers, and they are told that they can know that they have eternal life. You can be saved, and you can know it. A pastor once said, "You can be dead on certain that you are saved, absolutely." Look at the context in verse 11 and 12. "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He hath the Son of life, and he that hath not the Son of life does not have life." We are told here we can have, we can enjoy life eternal. We have life eternal. And in verse 13 says that we can know that we have life eternal. George Wheatfield, a great preacher or evangelist, said, "It is a blessed thing to know when sin has been forgiven. What joy they have that know it." What joy they have that know it. Many of God's people have testified concerning assurance in Scripture. Let's look at some of the testimonies of men in Scripture. Let's see what God says in His Word. In Job 19, verse 25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." What an assurance. No, I know, not what I think, or I'm hoping, or it might be. I know. Not that a Redeemer liveth, but He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." There is an assurance, but there's something else. And He says, "And He, that's my Redeemer, shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." And something more. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." I hope you're making plans in being buried and not being cremated by what Job said. Job believed in the resurrection, but also in the bodily resurrection, "in whom my flesh I shall see God in my body." Spurgeon said, "Our God is not a God of ifs and but and might be. He is a God of shall and wills. My Redeemer liveth." Was Job presumptuous? Was it a sin for a man of God to say he knew he had a Redeemer and that he was going to meet that Redeemer one day in the flesh? No, this was the will of God in His people. Look at David, who wrote most of the Psalms. In Psalm 23, "The Lord is a shepherd," or is there a shepherd called the Lord? No. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I am His sheep." And in verse 6, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Spurgeon calls those two words sheepdogs that follow us all our lives, goodness and mercy, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, in Psalm 48, verse 14, for God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. This God is our God forever and ever. What about assurance found in the Song of Solomon? Chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Then this is the question. If we cannot know we are saved for sure, we are not supposed to know that we are saved for sure, or are we to be doubting? Then why is it that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples and taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven? Because when you think about it, to call God your Father, and yet you are not one who really knows that you are his child or not, is a contradiction. Our Father, but I'm not really sure you are my Father or not. But there is assurance here. Believer, believe and rejoice. The Lord Jesus Christ told a number of people while he was here on earth that their sins were forgiven. That would have been a wonderful thing to hear those words as you're standing before the Lord, thy sins be forgiven thee. In Matthew 9, we read this, Jesus said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Did this man walk away thinking, I'm not really sure I'm saved? No, he heard it from the lips of the Son of God himself. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord gave assurance to that man. He told him, thy sins be forgiven thee. Did this man want to go on with the Son of God? Of course he did. In Luke 10, we read that the disciples just returned from a preaching revival in the villages and rejoicing that even the spirits were subject unto them. But Jesus said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. What assurance in what Jesus said. Your names are written in heaven. If you are one of the disciples and you hear from the Son of God, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are saved and you can rejoice in it. That is what he said. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In Acts chapter 8, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, after he was baptized, he came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because he believed with all his heart on the Son of God. And in verse 37, he said, with all my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he went away rejoicing as a believer. This is assurance in action. Then there is the Philippian jailer and his family in Acts chapter 16. When they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved, the Bible tells us, that they have the joy of assurance. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He had the assurance of salvation. You can know that you are saved. You can be sure that you are saved. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that. The language of the Bible is not a language of maybe or could be. There is assurance that can be taken hold of. You hold on to to your assurance. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Take notice here that Paul places the focus on Christ in order that people may be assured of their salvation. He doesn't place their focus on their decisions. "Well, I came forward at the invitation." He doesn't place their focus on themselves. "In 19 whatever, I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior." He places his focus on the work of the person of Jesus Christ, and is at, and this is the right place. This is where assurance is to be taken hold of, in the work of the person of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks of the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the intercession of Christ for us, and we read in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" He said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, or our Lord." Amen. There is assurance here in these verses. What about the words to the Corinthians? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "For we know, not what we think, not what we hope, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan," in other words, our earthly body, "we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon which is in heaven." And in verse 8 he says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord." Paul knew he was saved. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." Paul's assurance to us is he is able to keep us to the end. Remember what Paul said before he was ready to die? He said in 2 Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Here is assurance lived out in the Apostle Paul. The Scriptures teaches us that we can have an assurance in an ongoing way. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Your conscience bids you to know that you have eternal life. There are many scriptures that will stir you up to know that you are saved. Make your call and election sure. Rejoice in the Lord and give thanks continually. You must get assurance in the Lord so you can obey the precepts of the Lord. Then you will understand the blessedness of the man who knows he has eternal life. Full assurance will give us the full result of the gospel. The gospel ought to make us holy, and so it will when we are in full possession of it. The gospel will make us separate from the world. The gospel will help us to live a heavenly life here below. So it will when we assimilate ourselves into it and drink it in. But if we only take a sip of it now and then, we give it no chance of working out its design in us. The gospel is like the stream that flows from the throne of God. We can at first wade ankle deep, and then as we become more assured, we can plunge in and swim. Reasons why we must seek assurance of our salvation. Assurance of your salvation is bringing you the peace of God which passes all understanding. If you know you are saved, you can sit in poverty, or in sickness, or in health, or in tribulations, and be perfectly content. Full assurance will overflow in pure delight like the waves of the sea, or like peace, like a river that flows and cascades in pure joy. The child of God who knows he has eternal life anticipates that day he goes home and sees the face of his beloved Savior. Full assurance will give us the full result of the gospel. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Are there any questions and comments that you'd like to add?
I like the point you made that assurance is taking hold of in the work and person of Jesus Christ. It's very just concise and clear. And I know we've said that already, but there is a great temptation for men to put trust in other things, even good things that are in the, even our own, you know, good works, so to speak. I was thinking about, remember the bronze serpent that was held up? There was a time when the children of Israel ended up worshiping and burning incense to that and called it Nehushtan, and Hezekiah had to come and tear it down. But it was something that God had worked and God had used, that they had then put their trust in that versus God himself. And so we all want to take care of it, but make sure our assurance, our trust, our faith, our confidence is specifically in what God is doing in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
As you were speaking about the full knowledge and this assurance in the gospel, it brought to mind the verse in Romans 6 that says, "Know ye not." So this is something that you're supposed to know. "Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So this is the knowledge. This is the knowledge of something that God has given us to do that we can pinpoint a certain time. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." And this is the assurance. This is the assurance of what God is working in us, that we are going to receive and that we're going to be able to walk in this newness of life. This is all in the knowledge of what God has done. If we did not know the full works of baptism, of the death of Christ, then we wouldn't understand and have that confidence that we're able to walk in this life. Yeah. We've got to know in order to receive. I really like how you brought that out.
Thank you.
We've never seen this before, you brought it out, but we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. How confidence leads to willingness. If you know Amen. That the reward is there, mm-hmm. you have no doubt, then laying down things in this life becomes the obvious thing to do. Mm-hmm. We're confident the reward is there, so we're willing to lay it down.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You talked about how they could say the Lord is my shepherd and you are God, some of the kings in the Old Testament talked to the prophets about the Lord thy God. But when we know we are his, we can call him our Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, Brother Larry.
So we have this challenge, and you've been him as well. But on the one hand, those who are truly in Christ need this assurance, and studying the scriptures and reading can gain it. But on the other hand, there are people who think they're on the road to heaven who aren't. And so you can err on this thing either direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a time when I was in the local congregation and they never talked about assurance. But, you know, one day you think you're saved and the next day you don't know for sure. It gets scary.
Burden, and he expresses burden for the people to know, that you might know. Mm-hmm. And Paul said the same things, you know, that wants you to know. That burden was, it was not just a hobby horse, it's needed. Mm-hmm. Because we have an enemy that causes doubt. Mm-hmm. We have an enemy that works in the area of thoughts, and which are strongholds, you know. 2 Corinthians 10, talking about pulling down strongholds. Those are strongholds of thought. Mm-hmm. The man in the parable that thought that the master was unjust, an austere man, taking up where he didn't sow, that thought was his prison. Mm-hmm. That thought ended up being his ruin. It was not true at all, but that thought ruined him. Mm-hmm. See, and that's the kind of battle that we are in. That's the kind of enemy that we have. He's called the father of lies. So John has this burden that you might know, because that is the protection.
Amen.
That's our preservation. Amen. Is to know him that is from the beginning, to know the truth that sets you free.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
This matter of some days you feel like you're in and some days you feel like you're out. Well, these are days, you know, when we're fighting the good fight of faith. See, we're to be, to have our armor on. See, that, that if, you know, that we ought to assume that in this time of living by faith, that it's not always going to feel the way we would like to feel. You know, see, otherwise there would be no need to live by faith. See, if it's all by sight, then there's no need. You know, the matter of feeling is really. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These times are not. The times when you feel like you're down are times to fight. They're time to put on the gospel armor and to take up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And these are times, well, actually all times are times like that. See, not just, all times, there's no time when it's right to put off the gospel armor. And I appreciated this matter in 1 John, just the words of John. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Those words are wonderful words, just in themselves, you know. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we continue to believe. We, as you said there, we not only believe, but we continue to believe. It's not that we have believed, we have believed, but we're continuing to believe. So there's more in believing. There's more to see. There's more to lay hold of, and there's glory all the way.
Yes, and I enjoy hearing the gospel preached, because it gives us assurance every time we hear it. It builds our faith up among the brethren. We're not alone. We're all together in this, and we encourage one another. Brother Tim?
Oh, I was just going to mention in John 17, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That seems to be more of an experiential kind of knowing, not just sitting down and analyzing the doctrine, but really knowing God, and through his Son, Jesus Christ, we have this fellowship, And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have this inner witness. When we believe, we also get the inner witness.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.